Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to us. Open our ears and our hearts this morning, Lord, that we might take it in and apply it to our lives. Amen. Please do be seated, everyone. First things first. Get a dry throat. There's nothing like a nice glass of single malt whiskey, is there? This is just water. I can hope, can't I, that one day somebody will slip something in there. Pardon? Adam's ale. Right. That'll have to do then, won't it, Maureen? Well, if we were to make a list of the most desirable attributes of any neighbourhood, I'm sure that somewhere on that list would be that it must have a sense of community. Why? Because we're social beings, aren't we? No one likes to feel lonely or alone. And yet that's a far too common feeling for many people today. When I became a Christian back in 1982, a friend of mine introduced me to his local church. And one of the first things that struck me was how everyone there seemed to get along with each other. Now, what you've got to understand is that coming from a non-Christian background, for me, this was quite a surprise. It was there, really, that I had my first introduction to what living in community was like. You see, up until that point, my only experience of community came from my experiences of family, which was good in many respects. But it was a kind of a family that you really did need to watch what you said. Certainly, my big mouth, and it seemed to get me into trouble quite a bit. It was a place where I had frequent arguments with, mainly my three sisters, who constantly teased me. But when I saw what a community was supposed to be like, I realized what I'd been missing. I liked the way that they helped each other out, the fact that they prayed with and supported one another. I liked the way you could just drop in unannounced, just for a chat and a cup of coffee. I liked the way that they made time for others, especially for us teenagers, even when they were busy themselves. I liked the way that they treated each other, even though they came from very varied backgrounds. Some lived in state housing. Some were unemployed. Some owned their own houses. Some owned their own businesses. It's a very diverse bunch of people. You see, what you were in the world's eyes made no difference to the people in that church, because they knew what really mattered was who you were in Christ. So it was in that small church of 60 or so people that I discovered what real Christian community was about. And you know, there's a word that describes how they were to each other. They were unselfish. They cared more for the welfare of others than they did themselves. Now, our reading from the book of Acts contains five marks of what it means to be a Christian community. Don't panic, I'm not going to do an exposition on each of the five points. A Christian community is to be one in heart and mind, sort of a unity of purpose, if you like. They should share their resources. They should tell others about Jesus. They should experience the grace of God. And they should leave no one in need. We could spend weeks going through those points, but I think you understand what they say, don't you? The question for us is, how do we measure up? Not only as a community, but as individuals. Because communities are made up of individuals. How we behave towards each other reflects what sort of people we really are. The thing is, Christ died for you. His blood flowed out of his body, where he went through an agonizing death, and all because he loves you. He loves not only you, he loves the person sitting next to you. He even loves that person that you can't stand. He may not like what they do, but he still chooses to love them, so that they might realize and know that they have a Father in heaven who loves them too. God is good like that. He gives everyone a chance. But do we do the same? See, that first church accepted me as one of them. They knew that God loves all people and wants none of them to be lost to the devil. They welcomed and accepted me into their homes, fed me spiritually, and nurtured my Christian understanding. And it would have been easy for them not to. After all, I wasn't like some of them, or indeed most of them. I was crass and unruly, an arrogant and selfish biker. But God changes people, doesn't he? You see, just like that first Christian community in Jerusalem, they couldn't have been all that they were and do all that they did without God working in their lives, changing them, making them more like Jesus Christ, their Lord, and ours too. It would be easy for us, wouldn't it, to read these verses from Acts 4 and say, well, that was fine for them, but I can't do it. Well, I've got some good news for you and some bad news as well. We'll start with the bad news. The bad news is this. Love others as Christ has loved you. Love even those who don't like you. That's what being a Christian is about. What we read in the book of Acts about being church together really isn't an optional extra. It's what makes Christians stand out from the crowd. We can't say we believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior and not act in the same way he did towards those who hated him. But here's the good news. You don't have to do it alone. God has not abandoned us to our own devices. He's given us his word and his Holy Spirit to help us, to teach us, to empower us to be all that we should be towards one another and towards the world. In fact, we can't do it without his help. He's even given us each other to help one another. And I think that's rather good news, really. Looking at this description of the early church, I can't really help but feel a bit jealous of them. Don't you want to belong to a church like that? Well, of course you can. That's what so good about all of this. This is what God wants for us all. He wants us to love one another as he loves us and to love our neighbour as ourselves. And the bonus is he'll help us do it. But he'll only help us if we let him. The thing is, we can often doubt what he says he will do. It's not that God can't do it or won't do it. It's just that sometimes we're afraid to trust him and let go. There's something in all of us that likes to be in control of our own destiny. And I can understand that. If I have control over what's happening, then there'll be no surprises, will there? I won't be caught off guard. And everything will happen just as I want it to. But then if I do that, I limit what God wants to do, either through me or through you. And that's not a good idea, is it? You see, one thing I've learned over the years is that I can't control what's going to happen. All I can do is to respond what God is already doing in people's lives. There comes a time then for all of us where we have to say, okay, Lord, we'll do it your way. And just let go of our own egos. But how do we do that? Well, it's like this. At the heart of Christian community is this thing called unity. And this unity is such an important thing in the church that without it, congregations fail and they fall apart. In other words, there comes a time when we just have to trust that God knows what he's doing and not try to always have things our own way because, well, that's the way I like it or that's the way we've always done it. Because you remember what it says in Acts 2. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Well, that's how Christian communities stay together. They studied the word of God and they believed what the apostles taught. Disunity comes when people start to teach what is contrary to the gospel, contrary to what the apostles taught, and contrary to the authority of Scripture. and they had fellowship together. Because true unity comes about when believers watch out for each other, admonishing each other, correcting each other when they fall away from the path that God has set for us. And they meet together to break bread and to pray. Because unity is also displayed when the church meets regularly together to remember Christ's death and resurrection and to pray for God's will be done and not their own. When you look at that list, it's not really that difficult to do, is it? As believers, we can display those marks of Christian community because we're all in this together. So remember, we should be one in heart and mind, unity, and it's a unity around the word. We should share our resources, tell others about Jesus, leave no one in need. And the grace of God will be with us when we do it. So it's with humility, preferring others before ourselves, not insisting on getting our own way, that we must come together to learn what the apostles taught, to worship and to pray, in order that Christ's kingdom may come amongst us.